Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Drive Pink Dialogue. This is episode number 14, and it's the Inter-Miami versus DC United pregame show. We're about an hour and 10 minutes to kick off. I'm feeling good. I'm your host, Scotty. I'm here with my co-host, Soar. How are you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling fantastic, man. The sun is out in DC. The stars are out in DC because you know what? Inter-Miami is in town, baby. And it's the final game before the international break, so looking forward to this day.
How are you feeling? I mean, we're still probably about 10 minutes from getting the official lineup, but what are your expectations for seeing this, man?
Listen, we all know Messi's not going to be playing, so that's a big bummer. But you know what? I think this team has shown over the last few games that it can do really well even without Messi. A lot of the players are hitting their stride at the right time. So it's going to be interesting to see how we cope with that. And yeah, I'm just excited for this midday game at 2 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. And, you know, it's sunny. It's the perfect day for football. So honestly, no expectations. Just go out and have fun.
Well, while we're still waiting for this lineup and before we get into sort of the details of our show and we start talking about DC a lot, let's get this question going. What are you scared of? Christian Benteke? Is that someone that's going to scare you? I know we'll talk about him more in terms of his impact on the structure and what he's going to do in this game, but just top line thought.
Yeah, I think of all the players in the DC United team, I think that's the one that scares me the most. Also because Miami has shown that we're vulnerable on the set pieces and aren't great at defending corners. So Christian Benteke is definitely going to be an aerial threat. He's going to be a menace. He's big, he's strong, and this is going to be a tough day for our defenders. So I hope they're prepared.
Let's go to our sort of thoughts this morning and last night about who we thought would play in this game. As we're still waiting for the official lineup from Inter-Miami, we both thought very little rotation. I thought we were going to have the same team from Wednesday night, just plus, switching Robert Taylor for Messi. I think you have a few changes along the back line with Noah Allen coming in and Christophe going out. How are you feeling about that as we're waiting? And it looks like the lineup might have just come out. So give me your thoughts and I'll get the lineup up.
Yeah, my quick thoughts about the lineup that I put out was I think Christophe picked up a little bit of an injury towards the end of the last game against Nashville. So having Allen come in. Okay, go on.
It's a 4-3-3. We're going with the 4-3-3. David Ruiz is the right back in this 4-3-3. It's Taylor, Campana, and Gressel up top. Diego Gomez, Sergio Busquets, and Federico Redondo in the midfield. So the same midfield. And then a back four of Noah Allen, Nico Freire, Thomas Avilés, and David Ruiz with Drake Callender in goal. Surprise.
That was not what I expected. Yeah, I'm very surprised. I'm surprised that Tata, because he mentioned that he doesn't have the personnel to play the 4-3-3 without a right back. So it's interesting that he's popped Ruiz of all people in that position. I've told you this before. I don't like having Ruiz in that right back role. I think he's a bit of a square peg in a round hole. So this is going to be another big test for him, especially because he's going to be up against a couple of really good wingers. So, yeah, this lineup takes me a little bit by surprise. But I'd like to see what the DC United lineup is, and I'll quickly pull that up. But it's good to see that we have Diego Gomez still in the squad because I think he had a fantastic last game, and he's definitely going to be like a big game changer. I think he's bringing in a lot of momentum from the last game. I agree with the listeners. 4-3-3, long time no see. Honestly, I've given up hope in seeing that again before the international break and before we had a right back come in. But going back to Diego Gomez, I think he is one of the impact players, and he's definitely going to have a say in this particular game, especially with Messi out. I'm trying to look for the DC United team, and I can't seem to find that. But just in terms of... Sorry.
Let me ask you a question. Are you surprised that there's no Luis Suarez in the starting lineup?
I would have expected Luis Suarez to start. And I think going back to my thought about why I thought Tata Martino was going to play a similar or the same team was because he's displayed a tendency to not change things around too much. And again, we're going into the international break after this. So it's not like we're resting players for any games next week. And I think this would have been the perfect chance to just go in with the same lineup. But it's good to see that Tata Martino switching things up and he's throwing in a bit of a surprise here. And I'm not sure whether this 4-3-3 is to counter some of DC United's aerial threat and maybe make Miami a little bit more robust in defense. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I did not expect Christophe to start this game, especially because he came off injured in the previous one. So I did have Alan Freire and Aviles in, but no Alba, which is a big deal. And I think in my reading of DC United this season, one of their weak spots has been their wing side defending. And I think this would have been the perfect game for someone like an Alba or a Robert Taylor to exploit that wing play. We've still got Robert Taylor, and I'm sure he's going to be able to make the most of some of Santos's weak left-sided defending. But I would have expected Alba to still start this game, and I'm surprised that he's not in there. But I think that gives Ruiz a chance to kind of venture forward and be a little bit more offensive-minded in that back line. It's interesting to see how this is going to set up.
Let's talk about Busquets getting the captain's armband for this game. We saw against Montreal when Messi was out that it was Drake Callender. What are your first initial thoughts to that?
I think that game we saw Drake Callender make a couple of errors. And you brought up this point that it might have been that the captain's armband may have been a bit of a pressure on him. So I think it's interesting that he hasn't gone with Callender, but the idea might be this, that don't put unnecessary pressure on your goalkeeper and let him just go out and have a normal game without having to worry about being the captain on the pitch. And we've seen Busquets be the captain before as well. So I'm not surprised that Tata Martino's gone with Busquets this time around.
Yeah. 4-3-3 is back. I know that when we first saw David Ruiz play as a right wing back last week against Montreal, I sort of thought this might be the first time we were sort of slow playing him into possibly playing as a right back in a 4-3-3. Tata is going to want to get him game minutes this season. And with the amount of depth we have in the midfield, it seemed like that was going to be tough. Now he's a right back, at least according to this graphic. And I don't think we're going to get this switched up into a 3-5-2 based on the personnel. So, we're going to see David Ruiz as a right back, it sounds like.
Yeah, and again, he's going to have to be defensively solid. But I think the thinking behind that would be not having Alba in for someone who's the more offensive-minded fullback. I think having Ruiz play that role would probably why Tata Martino has him in the side. I think the way this game is going to play out is trying to prevent someone like Aaron Herrera from putting in those crosses into Benteke. So it's going to be important for our fullbacks to do their defensive duty as well. But we've seen that DC United is vulnerable on the transitions and on the wing play, especially as I mentioned already. So I think a lot of onus is going to be on Allen and Ruiz to try and get us into that offensive transition. I don't know what to expect from Ruiz in that particular position. I'm not very optimistic, but we'll see. Hopefully he proves me wrong.
It's clear that he doesn't think Israel Boatwright is ready for this level. So the idea that he's giving David Ruiz a chance here, and it's against a team that is solid, they've had a decent start to the season, but is not world beaters, and this isn't a must-win game like we saw last in the midweek. So I think this is the appropriate time to give it a try if you're if that's what you're looking for. I'm just looking at DC United and I still don't see a lineup for them.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for them as well.
Well, Miami came early and I appreciate that. let's get into sort of the availability report. Christian Benteke for DC missed the last two games, but he is back for this game. I would imagine he's going to be in the starting lineup, and he's going to be their main scoring threat. And then, of course, for Inter Miami, Lionel Messi is out with that hamstring issue, and I doubt we're going to see him until after the international break. Not the trade-off you want, Messi out and Benteke in, but I think Inter Miami still has the talent to go out and win this game.
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously, all fans were expecting Messi to not play this game. A little bit disappointing because I know everyone wants to see Messi play, but I think he picked up a bit of an injury. Hopefully, it's nothing major, and we see him back fully fit after the international break. The Christian Benteke one was, I was hoping he wouldn't make the starting lineup for DC because I think that changes their... that changes the look of the team completely. He scored a hat-trick in the first game and he left off where he started last season. He had about 14 goals and 3 assists, which is a great output for someone in a team that's not been performing well. So he's definitely dangerous. He would definitely be an aerial threat. And as I said, our backline is going to have their work cut out for them. And I think Aviles and Allen are going to be the ones. They're the taller center backs that we have, right? Or the taller people in the back line.
Freda is definitely a set piece, you know, vertical
specialist.
Specialist. So, yeah. I don't know if, I mean, I think they're all probably about the same height, but I think Aviles and Freda probably have more vertical ability in their game.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Julian Gressel in the right wing. We haven't seen him there since the preseason. I think looking at this DC United team, that left back spot defensively for them is probably their weakness. And so it doesn't surprise me that we have a guy out there who can put in a really mean cross and find good positions. It didn't look great so far when we've seen it, especially in the preseason. I'm not sure we've seen it so far this regular season, but what are your thoughts on him being out there?
Yeah, I think this just validates the point that we've been making, that Gressel is the alternative to Messi when Messi's not in the game. So I think Tata also sees it that way. He sees Gressel as the successor to Messi when we need that playmaking role filled up. And of course, we might have Matias Rojas come in, so that might be an interesting thing as well, to see how Tata plays without Messi, whether he has Gressel up top there or Matias Rojas. But in any case, I think this is the game to play Gressel in that right wing role. We know he's got some really good crosses. We know Pedro Santos is not great defensively. He's going to be bombing forward. And that's where I think the holes are going to be in place for Ruiz and Gressel to try and exploit that wing area. And as much as we are going to worry about DC United's crosses and someone like Aaron Herrera putting in the crosses for Benteke, I think this is the perfect game where Miami needs to put those crosses in for Campana to score.
Let's stop talking about this game for a few minutes and let's travel back to give some of the background for this matchup. These two teams play each other twice a year. Last season, both games were sort of in this really dark period in Inter Miami's season where things were not going right. And we were sort of expecting Lionel Messi and Tata Martino to come in, but they hadn't arrived yet. In fact, the home leg of this series last season on June 3rd was Javier Morales' first game in charge. And the road game was... this tie at Audi Field was the last game Javier Morales was in charge. So both of these legs were in this sort of transitional period. We found out Messi was going to join Inter Miami a few days after that first game. And then we obviously already knew by the second game that he was coming in, Busquets, Tata Martino, the whole crew. And we were sort of entering a new phase of Inter Miami soccer. Here we are. Just to go over those games before, like I mentioned, the first game was Javier Morales' first game in charge. And I was really excited for that game because I thought we might get a new manager bounce. We desperately needed it. And 7 minutes in, Kamal Miller gets a red card on a dog-so tackle. So that was, I think that might have been the most frustrating moment for me as an Inter Miami fan last season, where it just as everything was going wrong and you thought, okay, we're going to try and spark something with a new manager. We get a red card in the first 7 minutes and that game does not go well. We end up losing 2-1 at home. Ian Frey gets a 92nd minute goal to make it the score look a little bit better, but it was, we were never in that game at all. And we were lucky that the scoreline wasn't worse. We play them again about a month later on the July 8th. This was, like I said, Javier Morales' last game. And I personally thought this was our very best game under Javier Morales. We knew that Tata Martino was coming in. In fact, the next game was going to be his first. We were getting ready for League's Cup, and Messi was joining in about, you know, 2 weeks. So he was probably joining the team in the next few days. Kramaski has a really nice goal. Noah Allen has a set piece goal where he puts it into the box right at that back corner, right, like you're supposed to, and no one touched it and it went right in. And that was a really fun moment. It was also a really nice, fun game because that was our first time getting, or that was the first time any team had gotten six homegrown players on the field at the same time. This was that that game at Audi Field last year where David Ruiz, Benjamin Kramaski, Ian Frey, Noah Allen start. I believe Christoph got injured, but so Israel Boatwright came in the 29th minute, and then Edison Ascona comes in later in the game. And those six, you know, there's this famous picture from after the game, are the first time any team in MLS history has had six homegrown players on the field at the same time. So that was a lot to put through, but especially that last moment at the end where we got six homegrowns and it was sort of a huge moment for our academy and we're about to get Lionel Messi. It was actually like a fun time, unlike that first game, which was the lowest point, I think.
Yeah, but I think the point is that was last season, and the DC United team, I mean, Miami has changed a lot from that, you know, last season, but DC United has gone through a clean slate, potentially. They've got a new coach, a new playing style, a few personnel changes here and there as well. So from what I've heard from their fans, they're treating this as a rebuilding season, but a completely new look DC United. So I don't think it's going to be a similar game as we saw last year in June and July. I think it's going to be slightly different. Yeah, it's going to be slightly different. Also, we have, I think Miami is just better than it was previously, obviously. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this time we pair up. Hopefully we get a win.
Yeah, I think if, I don't have it in front of me, but if we went back and looked at the starting 11 for that game, we would be pretty amazed at how much better this starting 11 is, even without Suarez and Messi in it. Let's talk about this DC United team. They got Troy Lesane in the offseason to be their new head coach. He comes from the New York Red Bulls, where he was the interim coach last season. He is a, you know, a guy steeped in the Red Bull pressing system. And they've had a decent start to the season. The first game, they won 3-1 against the New England Revolution. They were helped out because the Revs got a red card in the 25th minute. But Christian Benteke scores a hat trick, and they are feeling good to start the season. A week later, they go on the road to Portland and have a 2-2 draw that they were down to with 20 minutes to go, and they make the comeback happen. They get the road point. And then last week, they get a 0-0 draw against Cincinnati on the road. Cincinnati was sort of working in between their Champions Cup games, so probably not as good of a result, but a solid start to the season for a team that wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, for sure. If we talk about last year, they finished 12th in the East. They scored like 45 goals, conceded 49 goals. Weren't that great throughout. I think the only time that they had back-to-back wins was in April when they went on a four-game winning streak. So the only way for DC United this season is up. And it seems like they started off that way. They've only got one win in three, but it hasn't been bad. They've looked really good. And as you mentioned, this is a new coach under Troy Lesane. He's a pressing coach. They like to play on counters. They like to play on transitions. And they've got the personnel to do that as well. You've got Klitsch and Peltola, who are the main engines in the midfield. I'm sure we're going to talk about them more. But their play style is dependent on trying winning that ball in the midfield, get the opposition to turn it over, and then use their inverted wingers to quickly transition into the offense. And a lot of their goals or their goal threat in the last few games has come from their wing play, where you have someone like a Aaron Herrera, you have someone like a Stroud. I'm sorry, I'm not sure how to pronounce that name, but Stroud. Just either cutting back in or putting in a cross for Benteke or Dajime. So, yeah, it seems like they're a fast transition team, and they can play in a few different ways, whether it's through the midfield or through the wings. And they do pose a few threats that Inter Miami's going to have to deal with.
So the starting lineup is out, and I don't think we've read it out yet. We got lost there for a few minutes, but it is Benteke up top. He does come back. It looks like a 4-2-3-1 with Pirani as the 10 and Dejomi and Stroud as the wingers, Klik and Peltola as the dual pivot sixes, Herrera and Santos as the fullbacks, and I'm sure we'll talk more about them, a center back partnership of Bartlett and McVeigh, and we'll talk about Chris McVeigh a little bit more, and then Bono and goal. I think you've just said a lot of my thoughts on this team. I want to talk about that defensive midfield partnership, though. They've spent a lot of their resources on it. Klik is, I believe, one of their DPs, and then Peltola is a new guy they just brought in from Finland, but he's one of their under 22 DPs. And I think it's looked pretty good so far this year.
Yeah, I think the midfield works really well for the kind of football that they want to play. I think they play a high press, they push up as well. And even though they are sixes, they do have a lot of physicality, speed, and pace in that sixes. And Peltola especially is someone I've been surprised with. I've seen a little bit of him in the last three games that DC United's played. And he is not afraid to venture forward and, you know, make those offensive moves, despite the fact that he's traditionally a DM. So I think, like a lot of Inter Miami's previous games, this is going to be a midfield battle. Whoever wins the midfield battle is going to dominate this game. I think their idea is to try and get Inter Miami to turn over, and Inter Miami's idea is to try and keep the ball and be more possession heavy. So it's really going to, at the end of the day, determine which team shows up in the midfield. And we were discussing whether Lawson Sunderland might be starting in the previous in this game, because we saw a few rumors there. But I'm actually glad that Diego Gomez gets the nod, and I am very happy that he's in the midfield. And I think he's going to be that engine for us. Of course, we've got Redondo controlling the strings in the sixth position, but I think Diego Gomez is going to be the difference to try and nullify some of their offensive moves.
I want to talk about Troy Lesane. We've seen already last week, Laurent Courtois, a new coach, comes to a team, gets them believing, gets them playing above their talent level, and they get a result at Chase Stadium. This game in DC, but it feels like it could have the same sort of vibe where you have a new coach that's asking a lot of his players, but it seems like, you know, from everything I've heard from DC fans, that they're actually buying into that. They're taking part in the pressing, this new style that's high energy, high work ethic, and they're bought in a way that maybe they haven't, even these same players haven't been over the last couple of years. Does that scare you, a new coach that kind of comes in and revitalizes a team? And, you know, is that what you think this Troy Lesane might be for this team?
Yeah, I think if you'd ask me if I prefer to play DC United from last season or DC United from this season, I would obviously say last season. And I think that's normal. To have a new manager bounce is very normal. Obviously, this is a new era for DC United, and the players want to be a part of it. And I heard a really good example of this buy-in that you talk about, because apparently when Christian Benteke was injured, he still flew to Cincinnati, I believe, was their last away game that they played, on his own expenses to try and go and support the team. So that says that a lot of these players seem to be bought into what Troy Lesane's trying to do. And that's natural. It's the first few games of the season. Hopefully this stays the same for DC United throughout the season. They don't, go back and regret their decision of having Troy Lesane in. But so far, it seems all positives. But to that point, I also want to talk about what's happening behind the scenes in the DC game, because I'm not sure if you've heard about the protests that they're happening, the four game silent protests that they're doing for the preseason that they had in Saudi Arabia. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on where you think that's something that's going to play into the atmosphere at the game and how that might be affecting the team as a whole.
Yeah, so just for anyone that's not familiar, DC played a game in Saudi Arabia this preseason against one of the Saudi clubs, and the fans didn't like that. DC is, you know, the capital of the U.S. and it's a very political town, and that was something that they felt was a political statement that they didn't want their club making. That's what the fans felt. So I believe they decided for the first four games of the season, or possibly the first four home games, that they were going to do this silent protest, and they were going to come to the game but not cheer during certain moments. And this is the supporters groups that I'm talking about. I don't think it's going to make a difference. I think there's going to be plenty of people that are there for, you know, to watch Inter Miami as much as anyone. So I think it's going to feel like a very normal environment. But yeah, that is something that's happening, and it could play a factor. We only saw them play that first game against New England in this, you know, at home, and they got a 3-1 win, but they also got an early red card for New England. So that helped. You know, we've talked about how this is a team that's going to press. One of the things that immediately I noticed was that the fullbacks are also a big part of that. They really like to get forward. They really like to be playmakers. They really like to be involved in the offense. And as I was watching them and as I was looking at it, it reminded me of what I saw from Orlando City when we played them a couple of weeks ago, where those fullbacks wanted to play really high and they wanted to play really aggressively. And they sort of let their, they left their two center backs on an island, and Inter Miami cut through them for five goals. To me, that's like the first thing I'm looking at. And of course, we don't have Suarez or Messi. Well, we'll have Suarez off the bench, but we're going with Robert Taylor, Gressel, and Campana. Do you think that that's something that DC should be pretty worried about? Our front line just sort of cutting through a back two when their fullbacks are really high up?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that I've at least circled down as an area that Inter Miami can exploit. And it seems like both teams are going to have to play their best game on defensive transitions, because I know that Chris McVay and the centre-back partnership like to push up high as well and help in that press, which kind of plays into the hands of Inter Miami. We've seen so far this season that Inter Miami has struggled against teams that are defensively resolute, that are compact and have a good defensive structure, narrow, tight. And this is a team in DC United that likes to be a little more expansive, including their center backs. And for me, this would be the perfect game for someone like a Robert Taylor or a Luis Suarez to exploit that back high line and try and get in behind the defenders. And that's why I would have liked to see Luis Suarez play. But I think Campana can do that role just as good. So I would like to see Robert Taylor be the one to try and make those runs in behind the defenders and try and get in behind to maybe get a one-on-one versus the goalkeeper. So definitely an area that I think Miami can exploit.
Yeah, that feels like it's going to happen at least one time in this game. And, you know, when I saw that, you know, when I got that impression from DC, I was just expecting Luis Suarez to play in this game just because he hasn't complained about anything. And, you know, this feels like a defense he could really take advantage of. I'm sure we'll see him off the bench at some point, especially if we need goals. But Campana, maybe slightly different game. But it does feel like something Gressel and Robert Taylor are going to be able to really take advantage of. Diego Gomez making runs out of the midfield as well. You know, we know Chris McVay pretty well. He was a solid fullback for us in 2022 and a not so great center back last season for us. He got benched when we traded for Kamal Miller just so that we could get him off the field. We traded him to DC in the end of January, early February, and he has now established himself as a starter for DC, which good for him, but also we know his play style. He is big, he's tall, but he's only marginally athletic, and he's not the most intelligent defender. So I feel like Suarez can come into this game and really make an impact. What are your thoughts on their center backs? Do you think you think we'll be able to take advantage of them relatively easily?
Yeah, I think in the notes that I was taking, for me, Chris McVay seems to have started off well in his career at DC United. I was listening to a couple of DC United fans thanking Tamami for giving them Chris McVay. And honestly, good for him. I think he didn't necessarily have a revolutionary career at Inter Miami, but it's good to see him establish himself in a strong MLS team. That being said, I think the weakest part about this DC United team is potentially their center backs. They haven't leaked too many goals these last three games. They've, I think, conceded 3 goals in 3 games. But I do think that this is something that the Inter Miami frontline can definitely exploit a bit. And as you said, Chris McVay is not the most athletic. And having Robert Taylor play in that position, I think, Robert Taylor is not playing in the twos. For some reason, I'm still stuck on that 3-5-2. I find it hard to believe that Martino's switched out to a 4-3-3. But yeah, having Robert Taylor on the left is actually really going to help. And I think him and Diego Gomez, with their athleticism and with their offensive drive, can definitely make a difference, especially with what we saw from Diego Gomez in the last game. I think if he has that same role of taking the responsibility, taking on the ball and just running with it and going at the defenders, I'm not sure if Bartlett and Chris McVay have it in them to stop that. So would be an interesting battle to see.
We're going to talk more about what Inter Miami needs to do to win this game in a few minutes. But just to close off on our conversation about DC, there's three players that I think really every Inter Miami fan should be watching as the most dangerous. And that's obviously Benteke, their star number 9. But Aaron Herrera, who's their right back, has been really good this season at getting forward and putting in crosses. And so for a team that hasn't been great at defending, at least over the last year, defending players going to the wide channels and putting crosses in, we haven't been great at defending that. And that is something that they're going to do, especially from that right side with Aaron Herrera. And then Christian Benteke is a classic, all-around striker where he can be a target man, but he can also be a nice poacher that just gets on the end of those crosses, whether they're low or through the air. Benteke, I don't know if you saw his goals in that first game, but he's got a lot of vertical ability. He's got a nice vertical jump on him. Is that something you're concerned about in the run of play? And we'll talk about set pieces a little bit later, but in the run of play, especially with a guy like Herrera making those crosses in.
I think in the run of play, there are two ways to stop someone having that vertical threat. A, just defend well against them and win the balls in the air, which I don't think this Miami backline can potentially do, because Christian Benteke is just a beast in the air. Another way to do it is to just stop the delivery and the service into him. And that, I think, is going to be key. That's why I'm a bit worried whether David Ruiz is going to be able to fulfill that that defensive side of his duties. I think Noah Allen would be able to potentially cover, and I think he'll be up against Aaron Herrera. So he's going to have a big job. And I think this is going to be one of the tests for him this season. But just stop those deliveries coming into Benteke, at least in the run of play, and we can potentially cut him out of the game in that sense. So I think other than the center backs having that responsibility to stop Benteke, I think the fullbacks have just as much of a role to play in stopping those deliveries coming in.
Yeah, that connection, Herrera to Benteke, I think is why we're seeing Noah Allen and Nico Freire start instead of Alba and Christoph, because Freire is better at defending those big vertical strikers. And then Allen, I think you can tell him to be a little bit more structured defensively. And I think Jordi Alba is going to want to get forward more, and he might leave some of those opportunities open. I do think we'll see Alba at some point in this game, but I think that you can understand what Tata's reasoning was for putting that lineup out, especially coming off a big game in the midweek. Maybe we should just transition to a set piece conversation. We saw Montreal score 2 against us on set pieces last week. This is a problem we've had since the beginning of last season. We've given up lots of set piece goals and good set piece opportunities. And this feels like a team that's going to rely on set piece opportunities. They're going to be breaking on, they're going to be trying to turn the ball over, break, get fouled, and then create set piece opportunities. What's the solution?
I'm not sure. I don't think much has changed since the Montreal game. And we discussed this question about how to solve the set piece issue. And we both said if we knew, we'd be the coaches. I think they're going to score at least one, if not two, on set pieces. And yeah, this just seems like the perfect storm for Inter Miami in terms of who we're playing against. And DC United is definitely going to capitalize at least on one set piece. That being said, I'm not really sure how you defend against it. I've already mentioned trying to stop in that service and those deliveries, but I think it's as much about concentration and positioning as much it is about physicality and strength. And I think you just need to be switched on throughout the 90 minutes, especially when you're on corners, to make sure you're marking the right man. There needs to be communication throughout that back line and on corners to know that everyone understands where they stand and who they're marking. Because if you leave anyone free, this team's going to capitalize on it because they've got the delivery, they've got someone who can pop that ball in, and they've got someone who can capitalize and finish it off. So, yeah, it just seems like one of those days where we're going to concede a couple from set pieces.
This is why Inter Miami brought in Nico Freire. He is a set piece specialist, both going forward, but more importantly in defense, more so than Aviles, more so than Kamal Miller, more so than Christoph. This is his sort of specialty, is, you know, being a big body in the box that can get up and clear the ball. And so I think it's actually helpful that DC has one guy that they're going to be putting the ball into. He's going to be their guy they're targeting instead of just trying to be generally dangerous. And I think, you know, you're going to have to man mark Freire and Benteke. And, you know, I think that's why Freire was brought in for moments like that. It also helps that Campana's starting. He's pretty good in the box. And then Redondo, Busquets, Gomez, some bigger bodies, or at least taller bodies. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse. And that's really all I'll say about it, because like you said, it's just about making sure you're focused. And David Ruiz was responsible for keeping a guy on side last against Montreal. So just being switched on and not making mental mistakes. Let's talk about this midfield. It's the same midfield from Wednesday: Busquets, Redondo, and Diego Gomez. I think we've maybe settled into this being our starting midfield three, at least first choice, and they're starting again today.
Yeah, I think the midfield balance is finally starting to come into play. With Redondo coming in, it sort of takes the pressure away from Sergio Busquets to have that responsibility of keeping things ticking. I think the way this team, this midfield has been set up, is Redondo is the metronome who kind of controls the tempo, because you can constantly see him come back and ask for the ball and set the tone of how the team is progressing. You've got Sergio Busquets, who's sort of in between the offense and the defense, and he makes that connection between the D line to the O line. And then you've got Gomez, who's just about everywhere. He's running into the box. He's the box to box number eight that we want in there. So overall, I really like the look of this particular midfield. I think it's starting to gel. The chemistry is there. They're playing well. Everyone seems to be in good form. And we talked about Redondo. I think he's played three games now, but he's starting to look better and better with each game. So again, would be another good test for him. Not having Messi as that offensive outlet is a little bit of an issue, I think, but we'll see how we try to fix that in this particular game, whether it's Gressel coming in from the wing and playing a little more central, or whether it's Ruiz who comes into the midfield and try and create that overload. We'll see what Tata has in mind there. But I think this midfield's looking good. And yeah, I do agree with one of the comments here that I'm wondering what happens to Benjamin Kramaski when he comes back in. But that's a conversation for another day, I guess.
Yeah, that's a conversation for another day. This midfield, I thought, looked really good on Wednesday night against Nashville. The difference is that they stopped turning the ball over. That was a problem they had a lot in the first, in the preseason, in the first couple of games, especially Sergio Busquets. And it feels like he's sort of turning the corner on locking in and being in, you know, mid-season form. To me, that's going to be the key to this game, is that as long as the midfield isn't turning the ball over in the midfield and causing or giving DC good transition opportunities, we're going to be fine. And that's exactly what they did Wednesday night against Nashville, where they didn't turn the ball over in the midfield. They didn't turn the ball over in silly ways that led to immediate transition opportunities. And if they can do that this afternoon, I think we're going to win.
Yeah, I think DC's plan is going to be try and get Miami to make those turnovers. And we've seen that Miami midfield is susceptible to turnovers, not just Busquets, but there have been a couple of instances where everyone just had a absolute horror of a game in terms of giving the ball away. So as long as we can keep the ball, and I think that's changed with Redondo coming in, I think we've protected the ball better. But as long as we keep possession and make sure that we hold the ball well and not give away silly, not just give the ball away in silly manner, I think we should be okay. But even against Nashville, there were instances where the players were trying a little bit too hard to try and play out from the back or just be a little bit cute in terms of passing and, you know, progressing, which sort of led to a few turnovers, and Nashville was able to dominate for, you know, the last half of this first half and then a little bit in the second half as well. So we just need to make sure that we don't give away the ball cheaply.
Yeah, you know, to that point, let's talk about the back line. This back line hasn't faced a press. You know, I know Orlando City came out early, but we sort of scored and disrupted that entire game plan against Orlando City. But we haven't faced a press like we're going to face this afternoon since the preseason. Really, I think probably since Saudi Arabia. We didn't handle it very well then. And while I don't think this team is going to be as good as what we saw in Saudi Arabia, we didn't handle the press well from our back line. Tota Aviles had some turnovers. We didn't see Freire at that point, but I don't think either of us think Freire is a master on the ball. And then we have two new fullbacks that aren't, Allen can definitely play left back, but he's not Jordi Alba. And then David Ruiz has never really played right back other than a handful of games. So are you worried that we're going to have not turnovers in the midfield, but turnovers from our defense that lead to goals or lead to opportunities?
Yeah, ideally, when we talk about playing from the back, the onus falls on Alba, Busquets, and Messi to try and make that connection from the back line to the front, right? Obviously, Busquets has not been great at that this season at all. He's had some terrible turnovers, but that would have potentially been our outlet from the back to the front. We don't have Alba, we don't have Messi, and Busquets is out of form. So I think there's a lot of questions about whether this back line can play out from the back. I do think Freire is better on the ball than Christophe. Freire has some good line-breaking passes that we've seen him do a couple of times. I think we'll have to rely on him especially to try and put that ball into someone like a Diego Gomez or someone like a Redondo to try and play it out from the back. But that's a vulnerability that we need to figure out in this particular game, because I don't think we have the personnel who enjoy playing out from the back that often. And what happens is we just go back to Callander, who does a long ball, and then the opposition just wins the ball back and you know, the process starts again. So it's going to be hard, but we're going to have to see how this works out.
You know, one of the fun things about doing this pregame show right before the game is that as we get the lineup and as we're talking about it, you sort of figure out what Tata's thinking in certain situations or how this could play out as, you know, when you have the official lineup in front of you. And Campana is going to be better in terms of sending the ball long and collecting it and holding it up than maybe Luis Suarez would be. So it's just those little things you sort of notice as you're talking about the pregame or talking about the lineup and talking about how the game might play out. It's really interesting to have the pregame line or the lineup in front of you because you sort of figure those types of things out as you're going. I do think Campana could be a nice outlet for the long ball if we need it in this game. Drake Callander, though, he isn't, you know, whatever people say, he's not by MLS standards bad at passing the ball out of the back, but he's also not Ederson or, you know, a world class in that regard. To me, it's always about confidence with him, where as long as he doesn't make an early mistake, he's going to be fine. He's not going to turn the ball over, and he'll, you know, he's not going to be a problem. But if he does have an early mistake, I feel like that could lead to a few more, especially with his feet. You know, he's good on the line. He's good. He's a great shot stopper, but that would be one concern I have is, can he, you know, is he going to have an early mistake that causes a lack of confidence, especially?
Yeah. And I think, out of the back. Yeah. And I think that's where Campana would be a good shot. I think you've hit the hammer on the head. Because DC United plays such a high line, I do think long balls would be an outlet in this particular game, especially just popping it to Campana. If he can just head it out to Robert Taylor, who runs in behind, I think I can definitely see that being a very good outlet for us to score a goal. And I agree with you. Callender has shown that he's great at shot stopping, but he hasn't been fantastic with his feet. And it's all about the confidence, because we saw against Montreal as well, he had one bad blinding moment where he mistimed the ball, almost led to a goal, eventually led to a goal, and then he wasn't great in the set piece either. So I think this is going to be a game where he's going to really have to command his box, because there's going to be a lot of balls coming into him in that penalty box with Benteke there. So I think when you saw the game against New England, that Benteke, the last goal that he scored, he essentially bullied the keeper off the ball. Like, the keeper wasn't even able to get the ball with his hands, and Benteke got it with his head. And that's something that Callender is going to really have to figure out, when to go for the ball and how to command the area around him and just be a little bit more dominant, because this is going to be a big test for him in terms of how much pressure there's going to be vertically, especially.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on Drake Callender too much, because he's a great goalkeeper in this league. He's you know, the best, or, you know, right up there. But something to keep in mind, because we did see that just a week ago, that one mistake led to some lack of confidence. And this feels like a game where he needs to come out at the right times and make good decisions and not turn the ball over and not come out when he can't get the ball. And I have confidence that he'll be able to do that. I'm not worried about it. We've talked about how this DC United attack is really effective against our biggest weak points. But it also feels like the same is true going the other way, where they're going to be spread thin or spread wide in their back line, and that we have smart players up front that are going to make good runs and that are going to finish chances when they get them. And it feels like this is an offense for Inter Miami that's going to be able to exploit DC's weaknesses, and vice versa. Going into a game, what's the psychology of that, where, you know, you might have to score one or two or three goals to make sure you get the result you want?
Yeah, I think this is one of those games that we're probably perfectly matched in terms of our strengths and weaknesses to the opposition. Similar play styles, similar strategies. DC has tools to exploit Miami's weaknesses. Miami has tools to exploit DC's weaknesses, which I think leads to the point that the team who scores the more goals is going to win. And that's, I know, a very dumb statement to make, something like a Michael Owen would say, but essentially that's the case, right? Just, if you're effective in your offense, if you can convert your chances and not be wasteful, you're going to win this game. So I think this is going to be a game that's going to be high scoring, and it's going to be very transitional and very fun to watch. But at the end of the day, whichever team is able to convert their chances is probably going to come out on top, because it's a very similarly matched team, not in terms of quality, but in terms of their strengths and weaknesses.
I'm just looking at our bench right now, and it feels like we're missing someone, but I can't figure out who it is. We do have Jordi Alba and Luis Suarez as obvious high quality options off the bench. Do you think we're going to see them today almost no matter what? Do you think that if we do see them, it's going to be as part of this 4-3-3 formation? And do you think they're going to have an impact in this game?
Yeah, I think they're going to eventually come on. I'm not sure whether it's going to be a 4-3-3 or a 3-5-2. I do expect Tata Martino to switch to a 3-5-2 at some point just because of the personnel that's available to us. If he decides to take off Ruiz or, you know, just switch things around. But I think Luis Suarez is probably going to come on in the 60th minute to just keep him fresh, keep him sharp. There's not another game midweek, right? So we can afford to have players get the minutes. I think Jordi Alba is going to be similar. He's going to get a go at this DC United team, and we'll see what the structure and formation is. But I think they're definitely going to have a shot to make a difference in this game.
We're about 20 minutes till kickoff, and we're going to go for about another 10 minutes. But before we get to our predictions for all sorts of things, let's talk about the 4-3-3. We haven't seen it since DeAndre Yedlin was traded. It looked really good in that Orlando City game the last time we saw it, but the team is a lot different now. We've added Redondo. David Ruiz is playing as a right back. What are your expectations for this game? Jordi Alba's not in. Lionel Messi's not in. Luis Suarez is not in. What are your expectations for the 4-3-3 specifically? And do you think this is the first sign of us going back to this formation now that it sounds like we're getting Chelo Weigand? And, you know, does this feel like what Tata wants to do over the next couple weeks? And this is an opportunity for him to try some things out in the 4-3-3.
Yeah, I think 4-3-3 is our primary formation. You saw Tata Martino use that when we had Yedlin. And I think that was his go-to formation, with the 3-5-2 sort of being a backup option in case we have to deal with some structural tactical issues. So I think this is another sign of the fact that Tata prefers the 4-3-3 and is just trying to play he's trying to get the players used to that 4-3-3 with the new right back coming in. And I think we're going to see more of this as we move forward. It's just the fact that we didn't have the personnel to play, and I'm not sure if we have the personnel to play this formation in this game either. I might have gone for a 3-5-2. We both predicted a 3-5-2. So it'll be interesting to see how this group of players fits the 4-3-3 and whether they're able to do their job, especially that back line with David Ruiz and Noah Allen, because Allen is more comfortable in the left centre-back role. Ruiz is obviously more comfortable in the offence. So we'll have to see how they cope with it. But definitely a sign that the 4-3-3 is going to come back as soon as we have a right back.
Yeah, it feels like Tata Martino has a bunch of young players for Inter Miami. Kramaski, David Ruiz, Noah Allen, Sunderland. Guys that he didn't bring in, but the academy produced, and now they're here and they're good enough to be playing, and they deserve minutes. He went out of his way to make Noah Allen a center back because he knew with Jordi Alba and with Franco Negri, Noah Allen's not going to get a ton of minutes if he can only play as a left back or a left wing back. And so he went out of his way to create a role where Noah Allen can be an effective part of this team and get minutes and develop. And it feels like this is him trying to do the same thing with David Ruiz. Now that we've brought in Redondo, Kramaski's coming back at some point. The midfield feels pretty settled, especially with Julian Gressel, that being his primary spot. I don't know how much playing time there will be for David Ruiz, who is a good player and deserves playing time. So this feels to me like Tata's trying to find a good role for David Ruiz. And if that is as a 4-3-3 right back, even if he becomes a backup once a weekend comes, it's still a good opportunity for him to find minutes this season, especially if he can perform well today. So I think it's a big game for David Ruiz.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And as we mentioned before, I think if David Ruiz plays this game well and is able to control the wings, Inter Miami is potentially going to go on and win this game. So it all depends on how he adjusts to that right back role. And I think he has the athleticism and he's young. He can be molded into that position. So we'll see how he plays. He hasn't looked great, but he hasn't also not, you know, put too much of a foot wrong as such. It's just he's going to have to get used to that position. And you might be right. Tata might be playing him into that position.
Yeah, that's sort of the sense I get because, you know, like we saw in the comments that Kramaski's coming back too. There's a lot of midfielders that are good in this team. And so David Ruiz feels like this could be his role for this season at least. Okay, let's get into some predictions. Let's start with how the game will play out. And Or actually, let's start with who do you think will be one or two difference makers? Maybe not the goal scorers, but the difference makers in this game.
Yeah, I think difference makers are going to be Diego Gomez and Robert Taylor, because I think those two, with their athleticism, with their pace, will have the tools to exploit DC United's weaknesses and spaces. And we know this is going to be a transition heavy team. And as soon as we have the turnover, give the ball to Gomez and Taylor to try and get it up the pitch and drive at the DC United defense, because that's how we're going to create our chances. And I think that's going to be the key in the offense, at least. And then in defense, I think Nicolas Freire is going to have to really pull the strings and make sure the back line holds against Christian Benteke and the balls coming in from their wingers. So those three players, I think, my shouts for how Miami can eventually go on and win this game.
Yeah, I totally agree with Nico Freire. I think, you know, he had a really good game on Wednesday. He had 10 clearances, which is exactly what you want for a player like him. If he can be that player again today, I think that that bodes really well for Inter Miami. So he's one of my two real impact difference makers, I think, and maybe in a subtle way, but in an important one. And then the other one is Sergio Busquets. He's a star. He's the only of the big four that is starting this game. He had a little bit of a turnover problem early on in the season, but it feels like he's turning that corner. And I'm just seeing in my head that if DC can get a few of those really bad turnovers, they're going to create some opportunities for themselves. And if the midfield is really on point, and not just him, obviously Redondo and Gomez are going to play a big role in that, but I think Busquets can really take a step towards putting that in his rearview mirror and controlling the midfield. And if we take care of the ball in the midfield, I think we're going to be in a really good spot. Let's play our circle the lineup game, where we take the lineup and we circle the one thing that we are most worried about. And who or what is that in this game for you?
Sorry, I'm just looking at the lineup, and the one thing that stands out for me is that right back position. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be, in fact, I'm not just going to put the onus on David Ruiz. I'm going to say Noah Allen and David Ruiz. I think our fullbacks is where the vulnerabilities are. We know that DC United's fullbacks like to push up. Pedro Santos is very offensive minded. Aaron Herrera has probably been DC United's best player, and to deal with those two fullbacks being so offensive, I think Noah Allen and David Ruiz are going to have to really have a really good game. So those are the areas that I would circle out as potential problems for Inter Miami.
To me, I'm circling Julian Gressel in this game. I think that he's playing on that right wing spot because that is DC United's weakness. He's going to have opportunities to create offense, and we haven't seen it from him yet in that spot. You know, we haven't seen it since the preseason. He's obviously played much better since the season started. But to me, him being the guy that creates the offense is really important in this game, because that's DC's weakness and because he has that ability and he'll have those chances. And so if he can deliver on those chances, I think we'll be really good. And if he doesn't, because, you know, for whatever reason, I think that we could end up really frustrated that we had the potential for good chances that we didn't realize or actualize. Give me your goal scorers. Actually, let's stop. Give me your score prediction.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to go with a solid 4-3 to Inter Miami.
Okay.
I want to go first. Explain that one. Okay, so I think this is going to be a very transition heavy game where both sides are going to have their chances. I think Miami's going to lose the ball, DC's going to be able to capitalize on it. DC's going to lose the ball, Miami's going to be able to capitalize it. I think this is going to be an offense heavy game, and I think there are going to be chances, and I think this is going to be a fun outing for Miami. For me, it's going to be 4-3, high scoring game, and we're going to capitalize on our offensive transitions.
That is a brave prediction. A lot of offense. I agree with you. I think the final score will be 3-1. I know DC United is playing their best team and Inter Miami is playing a slightly rotated team. I still think Inter Miami has the better team. I think this game could play out similar to how the Orlando City game played out in terms of how Inter Miami creates opportunities. And then if you get one or two goals, you can really open up the game for yourself. My final score prediction is 3-1 Inter Miami.
Sounds good.
Any goal scoring, like who will score the goals for Inter Miami?
All right, so I've got four to fill up, right? So I'm going to go with one Diego Gomez, one Robert Taylor, one Campana, and one Luis Suarez off the bench.
I like it, man. I like it. And for not ruining it for Inter Miami, I'm just going to not give any predictions on who scores the goals. But anyways, it's about 10 minutes till kickoff, so we're going to log off now. We hope you guys enjoyed, and other than that, let's go get the win, man. And we'll be back tomorrow to recap it probably in the afternoon. But yeah, until then, see you next time, guys. Enjoy the game.